Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's the Macko and Cause podcast, the Raptors championship edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. It's a Saturday, but it's nothing but pure joy on this great Saturday day. How you doing, Bob?
I feel so good. I'm a little drained emotionally because games 5 and 6 weren't so easy.
No, they weren't.
Game 6, I must have received, no joke, 6 to 8 texts from different friends just expressing how much fun they were not having in that fourth quarter.
Oh, it was miserable. It was so miserable. Like, the first four games were like, this is easy. Then Durant comes back. Then he's out. Then suddenly Toronto fans are evil. What a false, easy narrative that was. Then game 6. And then Danny Green throws the ball away. I mean, there's so many things to get into. So we need to start here, Bob. They're doing a sequel to The Shining called Dr. Sleep.
Starring Ewan McGregor as Danny.
Starring Ewan McGregor as Danny Torrance. That's nuts.
It is. It looks like it could be so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if it will be, but a sequel to The Shining. Sweet.
I mean, we're rooting for it. I mean, listen.
Did you notice? Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, I watched it today.
Because they used a lot of the footage from the original movie in
trailer. Oh, no, they didn't.
The one I saw, they did.
No, they didn't, Bob. I did a little research
today.
They
didn't reshoot it, did they?
No. Yes. Beyond the blood coming out of the elevator, every other shot you see, like the supposed Danny Torrance in the big wheel,
yeah,
they reshot that. That's all reshot stuff.
Really?
Bob, I don't have children. And today was one of the first days I've had nothing to... Well, actually, no. I actually did another hit on CB24. But I didn't have a lot to do. So I did a little deep dive on Dr. Sleep. And apparently, that's all new stuff.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in you on TV today. Because this is the first hit I've actually seen you do.
Oh.
I turned on the TV, and they were actually running the clip later in the day. Jackie Crandall's through to it on CP24.
Oh, yeah. They're going to use that content throughout the day.
You know what? They were doing anything to just do any Raptors story.
Oh, yeah. By the way.
These are other names that rhyme with Corey.
Allegory. You know, my favorite part of Friday night, when I was finally done doing everything, because... Yeah, and again, not complaining. I'm blessed as bleep to do all this, and we're covering the Raptors. Friday night, you know what I did, Bob?
No.
I got a good solid buzz. I just hung out with Amy. I drank wine, and I rewatched the last 5 episodes of 30 Rock. It was a glorious way just for Friday night. The final episode's brilliant.
Okay, I've got to step in here.
Yeah.
Because the Raptors won the championship.
Yeah.
And we're just not talking about that.
I know. I was doing that on purpose. Let's get to it.
30 Rock. Okay.
Yeah.
So, who's stock of all the Raptors? Because I was thinking all the different ways we could talk about it.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, this is a day later. So, anybody who's listening to this has probably heard a lot of chat on this.
Right? Yeah.
So, I want to get your take on this. Because I don't have a clear answer in my own head. Of all the Raptors, in your mind, whose stock rose the most during this final run, like making it to the championship? And not just as a player. Could be as a folk hero, could be as a narrative, like any way you want to answer that.
Narrative is Kyle Lowry because, you know, you saw Kawhi Leonard give him the trophy soon after. And you saw Kyle Lowry say during the trophy presentation, Toronto, this is for you. And he made mention of the city and everything. And, you know, his first trip to the playoffs... He turned the ball over, being triple-teamed by the Brooklyn Nets in Game 7. The following year, they got swept by Washington. I looked it up. He shot 16% from 3. It might have been 15. So I think for Kyle Lowry, for narrative and just for folk hero status, this meant so much because statue, jersey gets retired. All of that's going to happen with Kyle Lowry.
What I really liked about for Kyle Lowry was even though there were games where he stepped up as an elite scorer, his overall intelligence as a basketball player is what shone through.
Yeah.
And we tend to look down on people who don't just put numbers on stat sheets, but it wasn't even an analytics thing. It was just he was so involved. When he was good, the team was good. It was so obvious that Kawhi may have been the superstar, and obviously we'll talk lots about him, but what made me so happy for Kyle was he came out as the heart of the team.
Oh, yeah. When he, and just to add to what you said there about when he was there, the team played well. In game six, when he got, I think it was his fourth or fifth foul.
Yeah, and he had to go sit out.
He had to go sit out. Go back and watch that and watch how many Raptors possessions, and Van Vliet saved them a couple times. How many possessions was it where the Raptors shot the ball with 3-2-1 left on the shot clock? The Raptors offense, when Kyle Lowry wasn't out there, even when Kawhi Leonard was there, but it was stagnant. It was, wait, there's 5 seconds left on the shot clock and we're 9 feet behind the 3-point line. That's where you also missed Kyle Lowry because the offense looked lousy.
Running the 1-5 obviously was so essential to the Raptors offense.
Yes.
And every time that
Lowry to Ibaka, the 1-5.
Over and over again. And it was, and that's what you should do in the playoffs, is if you find some kind of weakness in your opponent's defense,
yep,
do it every single time you have the ball until they stop it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, there's no shame in that. Like the box in one. There's mm-hmm. no shame in it if they didn't score.
Yeah.
Run it again.
Oh yeah.
Run it again.
It's like in basketball, Shaq never shot underhand his free throws. Because the shame of you know, the granny shot where you know, the ball between your legs.
The Rick Barry.
The Rick Barry. Shaq would have scored hundreds of more points if he had done it that way, but not, he didn't. Why? Because of the shame of it.
Because he didn't want to look silly when he went to Hollywood producers and said, I want to play a genie.
Yeah.
he didn't want to devalue his brand.
No. That's a good point.
Oh, man. I was so... What was really interesting in the post sessions, right? Like the interviews, is how yeah. many times Kyle as a maligned personality came up amongst the team. It was almost like an inner joke that you were letting, you know, Fred VanVleet or whoever was saying, you know, this guy's, everybody's always ripping him. Never seen anybody in the game who's ever been ripped like this before.
Yeah.
And that was interesting because I bet for a guy like him, that really motivates him.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Hang on, there's someone at my door.
Okay.
So I'm going to go get the door.
You go get the door.
You do a commercial.
I'm going to... Bob, these are not commercials. This is heartfelt. This is the real deal. Like when I talk about Seat Giant at seatgiant.ca, that's not me doing a commercial. That's me helping the listener. You go to seatgiant.ca, you buy your concert ticket, you buy your sporting event ticket, and you know what happens? You get money back. Because you go to the discount code, you type in Bob and Matt at checkout, you get a little money back. We get a little money. The podcast isn't free. So, Bob, this isn't a commercial. This is a way of helping the listeners. So to the listeners that have listened to this commercial for the last 30 seconds, I say you're welcome.
So this doesn't happen very often on the pod. But today we have a special guest.
Yeah.
He's appeared on the pod before.
He has.
But this was a random drop by organized about a half an hour ago, and we knew that you were coming by, Matt.
I'm still in bed.
Yeah. But my boy, Georgie.
Hardest George working man in Canada.
So hardworking. And also, this is appropriate. I'm glad you can make it, Georgie, because people may not know this about us, and they probably don't know this about your career, but you started as a sports guy. They may have remembered you did some stuff in hockey.
No. For the Toronto Sun.
Conveniently don't write about the ratings anymore, do they?
Anyway,
ratings are bad.
Georgie and I were on the air at the Fan in 1995 when the Raptors started. And for us, it was like the biggest thing that could have happened in our lives. We would go out and buy Slam magazine. We would write like fan letters to Scoop Jackson. Like we were real hoop heads back in the day. So, buddy, we did it.
We did it. And because you and I both have those long memories, I'm so thrilled, of course, for what the Raptor organization did and all this. But there's a little part of me that watches the media in this country go on and on. And I remember when the NBA was awarded a franchise, ordered the franchise to Toronto. And I watched these mooks who denigrated basketball at every turn. They would say racist things on the air on our radio station, too.
Some of them did.
And it was like, it was watching these guys. And it wasn't even just that they were hockey guys, but they were worse than that. They were Blue Jay guys. And they worked really hard to try to make sure basketball never got a foothold here. And now they're all like, oh my God, we the North, we the North. So it's really quite funny on a lot of levels to watch what's happened.
All right. So we've been discussing whose stock goes up the most as on the individual Raptors. And you can answer this anyway. Matt, for Maddie, Kyle Lowry's stock went up the most?
Not as a player. As a player, Pascal Siakam's stock went the most, but just overall big picture.
From the start of the playoffs to holding up the Larry OB, who benefited the most?
Kyle Lowry got closure, and I think that's the most important thing that happened. But I think long-term, it's Spicy P.
Yeah, he went from being benched in Game 5, where Nick Nurse was honest. Nick Nurse said before Game 6, you know why I didn't play Pascal Siakam? Because defensively, he wasn't getting it done. He played 46 minutes. This isn't 2001. Go back and look at the box score. Raptors, Philly, Game 7. Everyone played at least 44 minutes. Siakam played 46 minutes more than anyone else. 26 points, tied with Kyle Lowry for the most scoring. I think was close to double digits in rebounds. So, yeah, Siakam as a pure player gets it.
But really, I think the guy whose stock goes up the most all told is Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi was doubted by so many people. Load management was a thing that everybody attacked nonstop. And Kawhi now not only has gone on to bring a championship to this city, but Kawhi's mythology now, the fun guy stuff. But Kawhi is, now that KD's out and LeBron is in his mid-30s, Kawhi is the best two-way player in the game.
See, I actually think it's Kawhi Leonard. I have a close second for Fred VanVleet, and it's funny because that's how the finals, you know, MVP voting went as well. But I think it was Kawhi.
Hubie Brown. Did you hear that? But Hubie Brown.
He voted for
Fred VanVleet for NBA Finals MVP.
You know, and that's not necessarily crazy, because you remember Andre Iguodala won it 1 year.
For Pat Borders,
right? No, Fred VanVleet did a very important job, which was keep
Pat Borders. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, just lost in history, Pat Borders.
But here's why I think Kawhi Leonard actually improved his stock more than anybody, is because, one, he won the second championship, but more importantly, he was the MVP. And when you win two MVPs, and I think only Wilt...
No, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and LeBron. Kareem and LeBron were the only guys to win NBA Finals MVP for different teams.
But Kawhi is the only one to do it in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference.
So, you're right. When you talk about how you enter that rarefied air, you have to do those kinds of things. And the great argument that could be made for that being an enormous accomplishment is so much success is circumstantial. Like, does Tom Brady win 6 Super Bowls if he leaves New England after 3 years and goes to the Miami Dolphins?
No.
Because he's in a winning situation.
Yeah.
If Michael Jordan leaves the Chicago Bulls, though, and goes to, I don't know, the Lakers, the Knicks, whatever, could you have built a winner around him?
Didn't do it in Washington.
Well, he was a little older.
He was a little older. I mean, again, different sports and basketball, it's easy to bring you somewhere and you're going to win more just because of the disproportionate impact one player has in the NBA versus football.
Right. So my ultimate argument there is when you manage to do it with two different franchises in a sport where your best player means everything, then you've kind of shown that you are in the elite of the elite.
Oh, yeah.
Because almost nobody can do that.
Yeah.
And what I really loved about it was I went and watched back tons of Game 6 afterwards, and he didn't have a great scoring game.
No, he didn't.
But he still scored 22 points. He still contributed, like, on the boards enormously.
Oh, yeah.
And his defense was...
His defense was great.
Galaxy-wide.
Yeah. By the way, give Golden State credit. They were relentless. They were relentless with their D on Kevin Durant. On Kawhi Leonard. It never changed. It's not like they went through a 7-minute stretch where they only were single covering him with Draymond Green, one of the best defensive players in the league. It was always Draymond and someone else. I mean, that was hard for Kawhi to score.
Kawhi never slumped for a second defensively. I thought there were a couple of offensive choices he made where you're like...
He forced some shots. And the worst is when he forced a shot and then got a loose ball foul because out of frustration, he's like, give me that ball back.
But defensively, he did the right thing all the time. I'll give the Raps credit, too, for the way they defended Steph. I do think Steph is obviously I don't know if he's the greatest shooter of our time, but he's one of the great shooters of our time. But watching Steph get defended so hard that he had no legs in the fourth in almost any game. He was just D'd right out. And Kawhi found a way. And that's, I think, the Masai Ujiri trick is that, and the Nick Nurse trick is that occasionally it was going to be, like, I mean, Money Green was massive in one game and nothing in the rest. And
by the way, one quick thing about Danny Green. Should he get a smaller size ring than everyone else?
I actually think the way it goes is everybody else but Danny Green.
Yeah.
Then Danny Green gets a pendant.
Yeah.
Championship pendant. And Drake gets actually like a car flag.
Yeah.
We the North signed car flag from everybody.
He should get something. One thing about Steph Curry, think about this. Remember in the Milwaukee series, the double overtime game. And after that, after they won, Kawhi Leonard looked different for quite a while because of just all the drained he was against Philly, and then now Milwaukee, double overtime, Lowry and Powell foul out. That sort of reminds me of Steph Curry after game 4 when there was no Klay Thompson, he put up 47 points. I think that game four just drained him so much for the rest of the series.
The defense in this series was as good as defense I've ever seen in my life watching basketball. And even, you know, that game, you know, Bobby and I were texting back and forth. We were just stunned by the level of defense in that game, that the greatest players of their era, and in some cases of any era, we're getting stopped. We're missing shots. I've never seen defense like this. And that's a credit to Nick Nurse, I think.
And Steve. Good offense almost always beats good defense when you get to the super elite players.
Yep.
At least over a seven-game series. And I don't think if the Raptors didn't have such defensive aggressiveness that they really could have had a chance against Golden State, because obviously offensively they couldn't match up with them.
No.
And not healthy. By the way, can I take a quick sidebar here? Just a little one. Basketball one. But
you don't want to go to 30 Rock and how the final episode is underrated. It's one of the best final episodes of a series ever.
Actually, I have a really stupid diversion if you want to go there first.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so I'm looking at my laptop because usually I write my notes on cards and I lay them out in front of us.
Yes, you do.
I'm storyboarding the pod. But I didn't have time to do that today. So my notes, and I just took a few, are in my notes of my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the other ones that I've written over the last week. And man, my computer is a cry for help. Like, I'm looking just at notes. One's labeled thyroid. Next one's poor sleep. Next one's I need an exercise goal. Next one is where to buy a golden doodle. Something about panpsychism, which is a philosophy, whatever. We don't need to get into that. But like, it seems like about 80% of my notes are basically like self-improvement messages to myself.
I'm going to show you after we're done recording how to use your Instagram folders properly so you can actually create a library of these things so you don't have to put it on here for evidence.
What's Instagram? Right. Tell Bob.
What's Instagram? Bob, we'll give you the whole thing afterwards. So you can put that there so you can have visuals and videos to go along with it.
This is a true story, actually. Did you know that I only had a Twitter feed because George made one for me? Because he could... And Instagram. Yeah. Like he did it for me because he couldn't live without me having them.
We're doing this stuff. We're doing stuff on the air. He's on the air and he doesn't set up a Twitter account. And I was so annoyed. I was like, what is wrong with you? So I set it up for him. And then Parkdale Panther, I set up Parkdale Panther for you as well.
If you ever notice in my Twitter bio, it says friend of friends, which I think is such a funny line. Yeah. It's not mine. It's George's. George wrote it.
I did not know that till now. I'm 0% shocked. Bob said he was going to start an Instagram account for this Twitter for our podcast. Right. That was, you know,
well, we're up at
18 months now.
Yeah, we're
or
at
so.
Episode 128, I think.
Yeah, around there. Yeah, around 128.
He wanted to make sure it was going to stick before he took the next step and committed to the social media platform.
Well, wait till episode 500. Getting back to the Raptors.
Yeah.
Here's my thought on Nick Nurse.
Okay.
Let me throw this out to you. Just think about this with Nick Nurse. So usually when a guy becomes a head coach, a new head coach, it's because the team stinks. Fire the coach, start anew. So then there's Nick Nurse. Hey, Nick, the team won 59 games. They just fired their head coach, who was wildly popular. Oh, and by the way, they're bringing this guy, Kawhi Leonard, who apparently has a horrible relationship with San Antonio. You know San Antonio, the team that's ultra-progressive, that protects its players, and Greg Popovich is maybe the greatest coach of all time. But yet Kawhi has trust issues with him. So you, as a first-time head coach who's been in Britain in the G League, now you're going to have to try to get trust with a guy who apparently has a bad relationship with Greg Popovich. Oh, and by the way, we're only going to play about 60 games. We're going to do roster experiments throughout the year. And, oh, this guy Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, you got to help make one of them a star.
By the way, can I add to that, Maddie?
Yeah.
By the way, Kyle Lowry, the rock of the organization,
is pissed off because he lost DeMar DeRozan.
Right. And feels like they're both being scapegoated and that his best friend has been hung out to dry and that he's been made a laughing stock.
And then we're going to trade near the end of the season the one guy that fans rally around. And we're going to send him for an aging Marc Gasol. Good luck.
Yeah. That's Nick Nurse. Here's what you have. Not. You get to coach a team that won 23 games, low expectations. Let's see what you can do. They won 59. Go.
Coach of the year. Nick Nurse is the coach of the year. This is a guy, like you brought up, you know, the reality. He won an NBA title the first time in history where there wasn't a top 10 draft pick. 15 overall is the first one. Neck with Kawhi. The next highest draft picks were in the low to mid 20s. And then you had a bunch of unsigned and undrafted players. So you're looking at the least impressive on paper group of players to ever hit the playoffs and make a run. And that's coaching. Coaching, I think, was enormous. And understand, Greg Popovich is the best. And I don't know. I don't think that
Kawhi had a lot of issues with Pop as much as he had issues with the medical staff at the Spurs. He didn't trust them. And it's a really big lesson for players. And I think you're going to see the reverberations around the league. Players, get a second opinion. Get your own doctors. Don't trust your team. Because what do we learn in the concussion scandal? Bob, when, you know, Matt and I, we've all covered sports for a long time. Sports don't, the teams don't really care about their players as much as they say they care about shareholders and winning. So they will, they, you know, look at the narrative around Kevin Durant now. Oh, you're a hero. He's an idiot. He's an idiot for coming back because you've never seen an ice pack for a calf injury that low. Nobody's ever seen that. And the team doctors cleared him. And when Myers, the GM, started crying on TV, it's like, shut your mouth. You knew this. You did this.
But you're assuming that the injury that Kevin Durant got was directly related to the one that he had.
Calves, everybody was talking about it beforehand. We talked about it beforehand. If you don't have a strong calf, the first thing that goes afterwards is your Achilles.
Okay.
We knew that.
But if you're a team,
I'm going to push back on George as well.
Do you want to take this one, Matt?
Yeah.
Usually I'm the one who defends the players, but since we have a bigger commie than me here today, go for it.
Exactly. Here's going to be my pushback. Yeah. One, Sean Livingston, veteran guy. Think about the hundreds of games he's missed because of injury.
Right.
He came back afterwards and said, this organization treats us as humans first, not players first, humans first. He came out and actually said Bob Myers' name and said, these guys protect us. Kevin Durant was given all the information. So I'm not going to go and blame this all on the organization. Also, Kevin Durant... Kevin Durant is a... players don't want to do that. Because when players start to cop out too much for the organization, then they become demonized. It happened to Russell Wilson with Seattle. Second point, Kevin Durant is a 31-year-old grown-ass man who's won plenty of championships, MVPs, and money. If he didn't want to come back and play, he didn't need to. No player in the NBA has more power right now than Kevin Durant. Because you know what Kevin has? Leverage. He was going to be a free agent. LeBron James is stuck in LA. Kevin Durant has more power. And my problem with all of this, and listen, I of course agree with you that there is evil owners, evil medical staff that are more worried about the team and profit and return on investment. I'm in 100% agreement. But at the same time, this sort of blaming the doctors or the team, it takes away from the fact that, and what I'm going to say is rare, I hate Kevin Durant. I hate him because he ruined my basketball. My sports selfishness hates Kevin Durant. But this takes away from the fact that Kevin Durant did an incredibly stupid and brave and altruistic and sacrifice to try to come back to help his team. And to think that, you know, the team forced him out there is an insult to Kevin Durant.
I don't agree with you. I think that, yes, Kevin made his choice and Kevin has a level of agency, but I think that we all know the competitive nature of players and team doctors and management. It's their job to make sure they do their due diligence before they clear a guy or clear a girl, depending on the sport. I absolutely believe that. But those stories that were leaking out, you don't think they came from inside the Golden State Warriors organization? You're damn right they did. And when players come out and defend the team, players say they gave it 110%, but you don't believe them then. We don't always believe them all the time, right?
Sean Livingston's guy's been injured for so much. For that veteran, for to be the one to come out and say it, I'm going to take stock in that. And I know we do the cynicism where we're against management. And I get that, especially...
I'm not always against management because Raptor management did it right. Raptor management did it right. They did the load. They did the load management.
They did
it absolutely right. I'm just saying that there was a lot of pressure coming from inside the organization on Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant probably given up $100 million because of what he just did. Kevin shouldn't have played, but I'm not saying that Kevin Durant is Einstein. Kevin's got his own.
He knows his body. He knows his body.
He's also one of those guys that just needs to be loved.
He's not a 23-year-old not winning a title. He's won two titles. He's been two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's won a scoring thing. He's done everything.
They shouldn't have cleared him. They shouldn't have cleared him. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. And you know who said that? Pretty much everybody who played basketball. Every analyst was saying, Kevin should not come back. He's not ready.
But Golden State was this organization for every moment until then was considered this intelligent, progressive one that put players first. And now the first time there's a problem, we immediately just go and shit on the organization. And I just have to wonder, to me, this is not about the organizations being evil. To me, this is not even about putting blame on anyone. Right. This is just a crappy thing, a horrible thing that happened. And it stunk that he got hurt. I hated that he got hurt.
It only matters in crucial moments, and in the final, the Golden State Warriors decided that they were going to go for the championship. KD would have brought him the W.
He decided as well.
Yeah, of course he decided, of course. But you're supposed to protect players from themselves as well. Like, that's a big part of this.
No, finish yeah, your point.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
I was just saying to Matt, I wanted to jump in. So, by the way, we have only two mics and three people. So we're basically like sitting around my table like that 70s show passing a joint around.
That's right.
So if every once in a while the volume drops out, that's why. Okay, here's the thing though. And I'm with Matt on this one. Even though I do think that ownership has historically been to blame for this, but that's not because they put players into dangerous or risky situations. It's because the medical staff never properly advised them as to the risks. And I believe 0% that Golden State's management and medical team didn't sit down with Kevin Durant and say, here's exactly where you are. Because can you imagine the scandal if it turned out that they lied to him about his condition? It would never happen. So if he's, and this is one of the things, and I agree with Matt on this, is it is terribly unfortunate. And it might even have been irresponsible, but it was irresponsible if it was on both parts.
I agree with that 100%. And both of them.
So we can't say, like, if you're going to say F Golden State and their team, you have to say F Kevin Durant as well.
100%.
Because he bought into a narrative and wound up hurting himself. And he, if they're evil, then he's stupid. And I'm not ready to call him stupid because he wanted to win a championship.
I actually think it's weakness of character if I threw another step.
But you don't believe that.
I do believe it's a weakness of character. That. I believe that if you're not ready, you shouldn't come back. But this idea that we celebrate him as a hero for trying was a weakness of character because it was about ego. That's what I think. Kevin should have stayed out, got his big money, and he and LeBron, or he's actually going to, he would have gone to the Knicks, and then the East would have been interesting again.
Okay, but, and even if it does come down to ego, who's your favorite basketball player?
Number 23.
Yeah, number 23 from North Carolina, 6'6 shooting guard. Right. Who has the biggest ego in the history of the NBA?
But when do you
that same guy?
Same guy, but let's be honest.
You know that ego drives these players. So when they act that way, you can't say it's an affectation of character because it's what also makes them great. What makes you strong makes you weak. And in this case, it made him weak, but it also made him a multiple champion and one of the 10 best players of all time.
I just grew up with the whole idea of like, it ain't a crime if you don't get caught. KD got caught. MJ never got caught.
But that's happenstance, right? Like if you rob the bank and you don't catch all your green lights, I mean, that's just bad luck.
Well, if you rob a bank, you should really ignore the lights. But you should honestly just make right turns wherever you can.
That's unfair. Bob doesn't drive.
I understand. Right. Fair enough. I understand what you're saying about it, but I do think that the Golden State Warriors are complicit in this. I do think Kevin Durant is as well. So what I don't believe is the narrative that the Golden State Warriors did everything they could. I don't believe it. You know why? Because I have a lifetime of watching sports where the owners have not, and medical staff have not treated players properly. So I'm only going on all the collected data over time.
And I'm going on for what Bob said about if that would get out. And Golden State's a very unique team. All they do is win, 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 win. And they could still win without him, even though they were down in the series. I want to move on to this other topic.
Okay.
So everybody says the same thing about the San Antonio Spurs. Even Tony Parker said that, you know, comes out. So did Kawhi, by getting his own opinion and adjusting it, his playing his own way, did Kawhi then show that San Antonio didn't know what was right?
Oh, see, we don't know everything there. And I refuse to do that. I'm like, we have this thing now where we, because in the 80s and 90s, you know, we crapped on players so much that we overcompensate now, where we just think that Kawhi is completely innocent of the divorce. I don't think he is. I think he is partially to blame, you know, and I'm not going to go Skip Bayless here and blame it all on him. By the way, I love Skip Bayless. He's Andy Kaufman. He's totally,
no, Skip Bayless is, I've never seen a bigger idiot in sports in my life than Skip Bayless in my life. That guy is unbelievable. That guy is like, seeing Skip Bayless crushes me and it makes me not believe in humanity. So he's not Andy Kaufman.
I giggle at Skip Bayless. I giggle every tweet he does. I want to read all his tweets, but I want to get an innocent, like a child, to read all his tweets on air because he's hilarious.
Why don't you do that on your radio show?
Oh, no. I'm
reading Skip Bayless's tweets, because we used to do Brett Laurie's tweets. Remember with the Skrillex?
Yeah, we did. That's why he blocked you. That's why he blocked me.
Hey, do the ad because I've got an unbelievably unpopular take I'm about to throw out there.
Okay.
So do the ad because I don't want our sponsors to be shortchanged by the fact that everyone's going to tune us out after I voice my highly unpopular take.
Okay, I'm gonna say this right now, Bob. It's not an ad. It's a friend.
Oh,
it's your friend. He's my friend. It's Jeff Pollock. He's our lawyer. He should be your lawyer. You know why?
He is my lawyer. I just never go.
Yeah, and the thing is, Bob likes him. Bob always distrusts authority. Bob didn't want to. And Bob likes Jeff Pollock. Him and I got along swimmingly because we text about wine all the time. Really simple. If you need any help with litigation, states, trusts, wills, whatever it is, Jeff Pollock, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088. It's a pizza number, 416-777-0088.
I actually need a will, so.
You should go to
him. Yeah, so maybe I will. I will.
Put it this way. Look, I
heard it on the Macko and Kaz podcast.
Never hurts. By the way, he's so good. Yeah. Bob actually eventually, Sandra eventually dragged him to get it done. Right. Like, we're think not about done. That.
We just went to an initial meeting. We got a few more follow-ups.
Poor Jeff Pollock.
Can I just email him my will and then he can just draft it up? I don't want to go for a meeting. Who's got time for that?
I don't know. Well, you don't. You're a busy fella. 416-777-0088. Give him a call. Maybe it'll figure it out. Unpopular opinion.
All right. So looking towards the future, I think we know Kawhi's probably gone, but he might not be, and that's not what I want to talk about here. I want to talk about the Masai Ujiri possible move to Washington. Now, the Woj bomb came even as he was standing on the platform accepting the trophy that Washington allegedly, and it has been refuted.
It has been refuted.
But nobody believes in the refutation.
Uh-huh.
Because if I was Ted Leonsis, I would do this. 10 years, or 6 years, $10 million, $60 million in total, and possibly some kind of ownership stake, which remains highly vague at this point. My highly unpopular take, if I was Masai, I'd do it. I would do it.
Well, he's done everything he could here.
And not only that, I started thinking about Theo Epstein. It's one thing to do it in Boston and you're the boy genius and everybody loves you, but eventually you will not be that guy. You know, we said about Kawhi Leonard, it was amazing that he went from one conference to the other. He became the finals MVP. You know, just the changing the situation and having success in two places meant so much.
Yep.
If I'm Masai, here's the other thing. If I'm Masai, the challenge makes it worth it. Two, if you want to be big, and I don't know what his career aspirations are, but it reminds me of something Jeremy Piven said in Entourage. He said, actors' careers fall apart not because they make bad movies, it's because they don't take roles that could have made them stars.
Mm-hmm.
Passing on big roles is worse than making clunkers. And so if you want to eventually sort of whatever his future aspirations are, if he has a Jay-Z mania to become a billionaire, you have to take the bigger job when it's off. Because nobody cares about your success doing the smaller job. They only care about the job title you have now.
I have a quick pushback, and then I have a take that's even more unpopular.
By the way, you know how much this pains me.
I know,
because I actually want to get a championship jersey with Ujiri written on the back, because I think he is the great story of this run.
We could do an hour about all the brilliant things he did. One, Barack Obama came to Toronto, and the Giants of Africa is huge. And he's doing that here, this small little hamlet we call Toronto. So that's my pushback. That's my pushback there. I think, I agree the idea of if you want to hit another little stardom, go do what you did in Toronto. Go do it somewhere else. I 100% agree. But you can be just as much of a star here as in Washington. But George, I want to throw something by you.
Go for it.
This is incredibly unpopular opinion,
okay,
especially with you two guys here.
Right.
You two guys here. But this is all for my love of basketball.
Right.
I'm now rooting for Donald Trump to win the next election, because if Donald Trump is in Washington come 2020, maybe that'll keep Masai Ujiri from not wanting to come to Washington. Go Donald Trump, make America great again, keep Masai in Toronto.
So you are willing to endanger everybody just to keep Masai in Toronto? I mean, I respect your fandom. I respect that.
I'm a 44-year-old upper middle class white guy.
Right.
Stay in there, Donald. Let me have Masai Ujiri. Because you know why? Masai Ujiri drafted OG Anunoby.
Yep.
He drafted Pascal Siakam, both late in the 20s. He got Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Mega. Keep Masai here.
Listen,
in Toronto.
Nothing would make me happier than Masai Ujiri getting us. We want a back-to-back, or at least we want 2 out of 3. I really believe that. I really want that. But I'm all about loyalty in sports to a degree, but I think once you give us a title, you can do whatever you want.
Of course.
He brought us the title. He did whatever he said. I mean, I talked to him about the Kawhi trade. I'm like, how do you feel? He says, I think we can convince him. Larry Tannenbaum says there's no way Masai's leaving. Do you guys believe that is my first question. But number two, what he's doing with Giants of Africa is far more important than a game of basketball.
Yes.
And if he can be more effective, and I truly mean that, if he can be effective in Washington, D.C., and you look at Obama coming here as a sign he's going to stay. I look at Obama coming here as a sign he's going to leave, because you know who lives in D.C. as well? Obama. Although Obama also lives in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So if President Obama is in D.C. and can help And of course, we know that where you know his roots, where his father lives. If Masai Ujiri can be effective for Giants Africa, he can transform a continent. Go wherever you got to go. Don't go to the Boston Celtics. Don't I don't care about anything then. Don't go to the Boston Celtics. Don't go to the LA Lakers. Don't go to the Miami Heat. You can go anywhere else you want.
Oh, wait, but hold on. A second ago, you just said you got us a championship. You can do what he wants.
Except for the Boston Celtics. And then you put some qualifiers. And the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, you had the Brooklyn Nets in there.
Okay.
Masai Ujiri is our kind of general manager. Anybody who can stand up in Jurassic Park and say, F Brooklyn, that's our kind of guy.
So Georgie gave you one of those ironclad, you're free to do whatever you want deals, and then there's an asterisk. Yeah. And then at the bottom of the thing, conditions may apply.
I like that. I like that.
No trade clause. It's like you can have your five teams. As a fan, you can do whatever you want. Here's our five teams you can't go to.
I like that because even though you've been altruistic and thinking of the world, there's still part of you that's a sports fan that's like,
fuck the Celtics.
Yeah. The Celtics. Can't really disagree with that.
I think that's the most important Raptor to hang on to this offseason is obviously Kawhi. Because if Bobby Webster is running the basketball operations, you got Kawhi on the court.
Poor Bobby Webster. He's actually the general manager. And every media in Canada and the United States, GM, Masai Ujiri, somewhere Bobby Webster's like, hey,
he might as well be Lawrence Gilman. Right? like who the hell? Brandon Pridham. Yeah. You know, he feels like he's in the background. It's totally true. What I really love about what Masai put together is it feels like the kind of team that should represent Toronto in terms of personality, in terms of diversity, in terms of the underdog mentality. Like this team, in a way, like the best way I can put this is when Georgie and I started following the team in 95, we loved it mostly because it represented a kind of culture that we liked. You know, we liked the Fab Five, we liked NWA and West Coast hip hop, but it was so not mainstream up here. And we always imagined that Toronto could be this kind of city where it is a little looser, it is more multicultural, it is more culturally aware and forward-thinking, and maybe even a little bit more confident in terms of what we... And there was nobody who was like that. Like, there was no Drake in 1995. The closest thing we had was the Tragically Hip to it. So I kind of feel like the Raptors became the Toronto team that we always wanted to have.
Yeah.
It's not that no one was, you were a Habs fan, so you obviously weren't rooting for the Leafs in 93. But, we were out there partying for the Jays. But this is kind of different because this one actually, like, there's something about this team that kind of makes me feel like Toronto has matured. Like, it just the way this team has been embraced. I don't know that this would have happened in 95.
Even
if they'd won the championship, like Vegas made the finals, it wouldn't have been the same.
I was at Yonge and Dundas Square the night that the Raptors clinched the NBA championship, which still seems so strange to say. I'll say this, from our time covering, because we started working at The Fan, I started The Fan in 1993, and I was at Sportsnet and Hockey Night only a few years ago, right? Here's the thing.
Wait, you're not there now?
I know, strange, hard to believe, but it's the same guys that are running modern sports that were running the teams, that were running media back then. Here was the narrative, and you hear Don Cherry propagate this shit all the time. It's everybody is expected to fit in, right? Oh, they like us. Oh, they like us. Oh, you got to be like hockey, even the Hip. And I love the Hip. But the narrative has always been keep your head down, do the Ronald Klein thing, keep your head down, fit in, be like us. And even with the Blue Jays, what's different about this Raptor situation is that nobody in Raptorville, despite some of the mainstream media's attempts, had to play that hokey bullshit card. And this is why Drake shouldn't get a pendant, but Drake should get an enormous ring with extra diamonds.
Bigger than Danny Green's.
Drake, Danny Green was important in the playoffs. Just the final.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. He was not.
He was great defensively. He never hit it. He was great defensively. He had one game. He had game three where he had six threes. He did nothing. He didn't take one shot. He didn't take six one shot threes. In game six.
Six threes in one game is a game changing move. So
get out of here.
I'm just saying.
The better people defending Danny Green. It's
no, I'm
weird.
Just saying that. I'm just saying that when you have an organization where you don't have a team of superstars, everybody has to play, has to hit six threes in one night, and they did that, and Danny did that. But Drake is the reason why the NBA players have swagger. It's top down. Masai empowers him. Shout out to Tim Leiwicki because Tim Leiwicki built this.
Oh yeah,
Tim Leiwicki's the reason why this is a winning team. And by the way, when the Leafs were, had a chance this year, if they beat Boston, they could have gone to the Stanley Cup final. That's not Brendan Shanahan's team. That's Tim Leiwicki who made that. I was with Tim Leiwicki the night that he made the Brendan Shanahan deal.
Yep.
Like, I was with him the night it happened. We were having dinner. Masai came down. We had a nice chat about where the Raps and where the Leafers were going to go. So Drake helped empower Toronto fans to have their swagger. And that's why this is so much better than the other stuff that I saw, because every other time I was watching Hockey Night in Canada this year, and Brian Burke, I think it might've been Ron and Brian were on doing something. And they were extolling the virtues of this one junior hockey league team. And I like Brian Burke immensely.
He looks like the dad from Teen Wolf.
He kind of does.
Yeah, like, he looks like a Oh my god! Yeah, he looks like a werewolf's father.
I love him. I'm a big Brian Burke fan.
Yeah,
but they were extolling the virtues of this junior hockey league team, or I don't know what fucking layer it was, but it said that they had a sign in the dressing room that said "Fit in or F off," mm-hmm. And the Hockey Night guys, and not just them, but like sportsmen, were like, "Yeah, yeah, that's right, teamwork." And I'm like, "That is the worst advice you could give to somebody," and for me. Whereas the Raptors, like, I loved when Fred VanVleet was asked that question after his baby was born. Do you dedicate this to your kid? He's like, no, this is me. I ain't giving him the credit. I loved the fact that the Raptors didn't have to play that hokey bullshit Canadian card, that they got to be themselves. And that's Toronto. And that's Canada. You come here and you still get to be you. You don't have to forfeit your stuff at the border. You get to be you. And I think that's, we can always disagree with it, but you get to be you. And that's why I think this was the most Canadian victory, even more Canadian than the Blue Jays was. And even, to be honest with you, more Canadian than any recent year Stanley Cup thing I've seen.
Can I just change the topic quickly?
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to rent a freaking office space in this city? I'm trying to find a workspace for the summer. Yeah. Mm. And everywhere I look, wants to be a social club and offer like speaker sessions. And
yeah, there's one near where I live in the distillery. Yeah.
You know, I'm just looking at this one called Love Child, and I'm sure it's a lovely place, but like there's pictures of people doing yoga in the office. And like, look, all I want
yoga is picture means more money.
I want a desk and a lamp and Wi-Fi, and I want friends. Yeah. I don't want friends. I got you two.
You're going to have, there will be shots of like fair trade organic coffee, and there'll definitely be craft beer, like IPAs from places you've never heard of. I got a question. One, remind me, Bob, to hit the explicit button for this pod. It's okay.
It's a podcast. If you can't swear, what's the point of having a podcast?
I know. You get more reach if it's not explicit.
Just cut my F words out.
No. Yeah. Actually, here's the thing, George. You know how I never do the Instagram thing, and I've been saying for about a year and a month, something like that.
Yeah.
That I was gonna. It's become a running gag that we have no Instagram because I don't do it. But Matt's thing is, no matter how much we swear, he refuses to say it's explicit.
Well, you get fewer listeners.
He's afraid that the listeners like he's worried this is like a rated R movie, like we're gonna keep the kids away.
There's more important thing here, Bob. We got to deal with.
Okay, what?
George said he had dinner with Lywicki.
Yeah,
and Masai. I mean, it's a good name drop.
Did you hurt your toe when he dropped those names?
Yeah, I got to tell you right now. I just lost my nail, but it'll grow back. It'll grow back in 5 months. It's the same one I lost when I was in Peru. Where did you go for dinner?
Right.
And what did you order? Give me the menu items. What did you have?
The only reason I brought it up, because we were talking about how this is Tim's team, was that Tim actually said to me when he got off the phone, he said, one day you're going to be able to tell people you were here on this night. That's exactly
what he
said.
Where'd you go for dinner?
Whatever the restaurant was called inside the hockey and basketball arena. I refuse to call it by its sponsored name because the bank's not paying me. So why do I have to call it that? So
it's the ACC. I called the ACC.
Yeah, but
the
airline wasn't paying me either. I spent too much money on that airline. So it's the arena for me.
Okay.
We were inside there. And what did I order? A salad, because as a vegan.
No, I know. Listen, by the way, George, I didn't ask what you ordered. You're a vegan and you don't drink. Yeah. Your menu options mean nothing to me. I want to know what did Lywicki have. You know, what do you know with the wine?
I'm guessing it was a rib or some kind of steak, because it looked good.
Yeah. All right.
I like that he's calling him Tim.
Yeah, Tim. I know.
Tim. I'm having dinner with Tim.
Don't think that didn't, that didn't hit me. There's one point I want to get out here.
Okay. How much time do we have, by the way?
Let me get my glasses.
Well, because, okay.
So 44 minutes.
Sandra, my wife, in case you're listening for the first time, shamed us because we don't know how to upload the pod at longer than an hour. So we were dividing it into two parts, and she called us Bush League. So ever since then, we always try to keep it under an hour so we don't have to shame ourselves.
We got 13 minutes.
As opposed to just going on YouTube and entering into the search engine, how do I upload a podcast longer than an hour?
I actually tuned you out halfway through that sentence. When I heard go on YouTube, I was like, whatever he says next, I'll never do.
YouTube is not for instruction. YouTube is to, to watch fun videos. The one thing I love about this Toronto Raptors team, that's what a championship team looks like. They smacked Orlando around. They took on the most talented team where, ironically, in Philadelphia, if Kawhi goes to the Clippers traded their best player to Philly, Tobias Harris. He was maybe their fourth or fifth most talented player. They beat them. Then they took on Milwaukee, the team with the best record, the best scoring differential, the team with the most wins by double digits. And they won four in a row, and they turned the MVP of the league into just a star hyphen light.
They were down 0-2.
They were down 0-2. And then they went and they beat Golden State. And when people lament, oh, the injuries. Well, even when Clay, if you look at when Clay Thompson was on the floor, the Raptors were the better team collectively in all those minutes played. So here's what Golden State had to deal with. And they were a really banged up team. All they had was the two-time MVP. They had a five-time All-Star in Klay Thompson. They had a three-time All-Star in Draymond Green, who's also Defensive Player of the Year. Two of those guys are under 30, and Steph is just over 30 years old. They still had Andre Iguodala. DeMarcus Cousins had some good moments. This whole idea of an asterisk is complete and total fucking bullshit.
You know who said it should be an asterisk? Skip Bayless.
Of course he did. No, but that's Skip. He hits send and he giggles. So if you look at all the teams that lost in the NBA finals over the last 20 years, most of those other teams that lost weren't as good as this Golden State team that Toronto just beat in six.
Remind me that I have an analogy for this team, but I don't want to get to it just yet. But just remind me I have an analogy for it.
Okay.
Moving forward. I think the point you make is really good, and it actually got me to thinking recently about how this isn't an anti-analytics rant, but I think one thing we saw with this Raptors team is the value of experience and the value of maturity.
Except for Danny Green.
Except for Danny Green. Yeah. And I'm one of the good things about this run being over, apart from the championship, is I don't have to hear Leo Routens talk about how he's glad he keeps shooting. That he looked confident when he went 0-for-5. I just don't have to hear that again, so I'm happy.
I had to bite my tongue many times.
I bet.
Can I propose something for the fall that we do that, and again, we have a lot of friends in all the broadcasts, and I think they're all very talented, and I quite enjoyed watching them. So this is not an affront to anybody doing it currently. But next year, I'm going to start live streaming basketball analysis because I want to hear
if
the Raptors, if the Raptors represent the modern Toronto, I want to hear sports TV. I tried that hockey. Did not work.
Matt's giggling. But, why are you giggling?
No, I don't know if you heard about this. Maybe because, I still work for one of the major broadcasters. So I sort of get the inside scoop. I was talking with John Shannon and Moore and some of the people from Sportsnet, and they want you to become one of the voices for the Raptors. And the great thing is, George, they want you to be you. They don't want you to change. They want you. And they say 100% pinky swear. They want you just to be you on air. And they don't want you to change the moment the red light goes on.
Do you know there was a major league sports team in this city, one of the big four, that asked me to be the play-by-play person for them?
Really?
And I said I would absolutely love to do it. And then it got to the CBC Sports head, who ironically was the head at Hockey Night in Canada, who said no, and he put his buddy in place anyway. So the owner of the team wanted me to be the play-by-play guy, and I would have loved to do it. But watch, I'm in a position now where I can start hurling sticks of dynamite into the gig, and I'm going to fucking do that. I'm going to do that.
It's a little late for that.
And, but I think that I want coverage to reflect the city that I grew up in, the city that I live in. I want coverage to reflect the conversation online. I don't want to. That's what I want.
You're so much more noble than I am. Honestly, I just want them to win. I just want them to win, and I want to eat chips while they're doing
it. This is it. We also can eat chips and want them to win. That's how we're going to change the way that games are play-by-play. But I love Eric Smith, and I want him to join us.
So to the Toronto Wolfpack, shame on you for not hiring George Stropopoulos, you bunch of cowards.
Big four, baby.
So can I do my analogy here?
Yeah.
Because this is actually a good way to turn towards the end, because this is about the future.
Yeah.
One thing that you really notice with the fan base in this win is nobody is upset if it all changes. And that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Right? Like, usually you want more, you get greedy, you get your sports happy, as you like to say.
Oh, yeah, I'm greedy as hell.
Don't take away my sports happy. But we're just happy was here. And I realized that Masai put this together, and it's almost like an Oscar-winning movie, that it's a one-time event, and you collected all of this talent for one amazing thing to happen, and it did. Which is sort of like the way you put a movie together. You bring all the possible talent you have together, based on who's available, based on who you think's going to win. And then you just hope it all comes off. And when it does, it's kind of done. You know, like you might get a franchise out of it. There might be 5 more movies, 10 more movies, but it doesn't matter because if you love that movie, it's good enough that it just happened. And I realized while I was sitting here, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, you know, this is kind of like, it's kind of like how I feel when I see something amazing, but I don't expect it to ever happen again. Mm-hmm. And I never feel that way about sports because I always want it to happen again. But this one, I almost feel like Masai was a producer as much as he was a president and a general manager.
And to add a plus one to your statement, I entirely agree, is that at the beginning of the season, they pretty much told us this is 1 year. Mm-hmm. They told us that it was going to be this. We knew this the whole time that it was going to be the 1 year. That's what makes it. No one's going to be mad. No one's going to be mad if the whole team walks away. We, of course, can still win because we have a great core, but you're 100% right, and they told us.
Okay, so Cause, you and I, while we're wrapping up here, we should probably take this opportunity to apologize to anybody in the Raptors that we ripped during the course of the year. Like, is there anybody? I want to say sorry to Serge, because I said Serge was
50 points in games 5, 6, and 7.
He was
huge
great.
In wins in game 4 and 6.
And coming off the bench. I mean, yeah. I don't feel bad about ripping Fred during the playoffs because, you know,
Fred had 14 straight games with under 10 points. The 14th of those under 10-point games was game 3, double overtime against Milwaukee. He shot 1 of 11. He was horrible. But to George,
Fred Sr. was great, though.
Fred Sr. was great. And by the way, that stupid narrative about who hit a kid, I agree with George. I love when he shot it down. And then after some other international media, after they won a game 6, they also brought up the kid thing. And Fred said, listen, if you want this to be the storyline, fine. Just bleep off.
You know, it's so funny that the two guys who don't have kids are the ones who think that the kid storyline is stupid.
That's right. Guess what?
Hey, kids don't matter, says the two guys without kids.
Because we're environmentalists, Bob, and we know that more people mean that we have more climate change.
Your carbon footprint, you breeder, is disgusting. Shame on you. Shame on you.
All right, so speaking of shame, I just want to say sorry to Serge because at the beginning of the year, I thought of him as basically just a $20 million paperweight.
But did you ever shout out his amazing style and fashion?
Yeah, he's amazing. I said on Twitter that Kawhi's a genius, or Masai's a genius. Kawhi's a superstar. Serge got flair.
Yeah.
Serge has genuine flair, like Charles Oakley had flair.
And Serge tried to serve cow penis to Kawhi Leonard.
Did it work?
I saw it today. It was amazing. I watched that. Amazing.
Yeah, his YouTube cooking show. By the way, my favorite is all the other players rip Serge. Like, all he does is add salt and olive oil to different meats, and he's supposedly a great cook.
That's Italian.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Italian. Good ingredients with olive oil and garlic. You know, Cause, I ripped everybody at various times, but I'm mostly Serge. Serge was the only one that I was really down on. And you too, to a certain extent, eh, Maddie?
Why?
But in fairness, though, going into this year, like, he was kind of a Zipola last year.
Yeah, he was. But man, he was this really just calming, offensive, calming force. We saw in game 7 against Philly. We saw it a bunch of times against Golden State.
That's the magic word. And I think what I loved about the Raptors during this run, there's something funny about sports where you don't just love your team, but at some point you come to admire them. And what I admired the most about the Raptors and feel like I learned from them was grace under pressure.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like facing adversity constantly, whether in game or in series, and they just never seemed rattled.
Yeah.
And that's why they could win.
Yeah.
If they'd been rattled, they would have lost.
My my gas baggy Friday monologue, the theme word was resilience. You had Kyle Lowry, the resilience from where he was 7 years ago as a backup to Jose Calderon, the resilience of Siakam for getting benched late in game 5, the resilience of Kawhi Leonard, who a year ago didn't know if he was going to play, you know, the resilience of Fred VanVleet, who had a crappy first half of the playoffs, resilient throughout.
You know, there's this great line in the movie Colors, and everybody's been swearing, so I'll do it now too.
I am a nightmare walking
psychopath talking. King of the Jungle, just a gangster stalking.
I was an usher at a movie theater when I was a teenager when this movie opened, and I know exactly the line you're going to say.
Right.
So I can't wait to hear you say this on a microphone for broadcast.
All right. So by the way, just as a quick, my wedding song was Stevie Wonder's I Was Made to Love Her, but it was almost OG Original Gangster by Ice-T. Okay. So anyway, Hodges, Sean Penn, and Robert Duvall are talking, and Sean Penn is all go, 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 right? And he's like, you know, and Hodges is trying to calm him down. So he tells a story. He goes, you know, there are two cows, there are two wolves standing up at the top of the, do you know the story?
Okay, do it. Yep.
Two wolves standing up at the top of the hill, looking down on a field full of cows. And the young wolf says to the older wolf, hey, Dad, let's run down there and kill. Well, okay. And fuck one of those cows, right? And the daddy wolf says to him, no, let's walk down and fuck them all. And I kind of feel like the raptors were the daddy wolf.
Yeah. Thanks to Seat Giant and Jeff Pollock.
This is a very salty episode.
This is a great, this is my favorite one. It's a championship one. The Raptors won the NBA championship. Sprite Zone, Sky Dome, Oliver Miller, ball.
So, okay. So, Maple Leaf Gardens, when John Paul Roby was an usher there, I used to see that guy there. Like, this team has gone through some wicked stuff.
So I'm in,
it's quitting on us.
I'm in the basement with my family, and we let Charlotte stay up and watch the game, and she's 9 years old. And when we won, I started screaming.
Yeah.
And she's never seen me be emotional like that before, either good or bad. Like, I always have a kind of a restrictor cap on how far I'll allow my emotions to get. And I lost it. And she stopped and she looked at me. We're on our way today to drop her off at track practice. And she's in the back of the car and she goes, Dad, you took that too seriously.
I walked this morning. I was walking into a convenience store around the corner from my house, and I know the guy is the family who runs the place. And I looked at this guy Ryan, who's an amazing dude who was working there. It's his mom and dad's shop. And I looked at him, and I'm saying, "How are you feeling?" And he just said, "I'm exhausted." He said, "I just realized now how stressed I was, and that's the narrative that makes me so happy. Is that everybody who was into this was ruined."
Which reminds me, Matt, and I wanted to mention this before we
final go. Thought.
I went on CP24. I was watching you today.
Oh yeah,
and you have the beard going.
Yeah,
you look like you haven't shaved in about 4 days, and I was haven't. So proud of you because I thought this guy's on his own championship run right now. Oh, he's just doing radio all night long.
I've done so much radio, so many hits. It's gone now. No one's going to want me to talk the Argonauts or the Blue Jays. But yeah,
who's the QB?
It's James Franklin, you dummy.
It's Darian Durant, isn't it?
What's that?
Darian Durant?
No, Darian Durant's retired. Get out.
What?
Of here. Darian Durant's retired. We got like 45 seconds. We're not doing hot CFL talk. I just want to say first, George, thanks so much for coming and joining us.
Thank you.
Because like you are part of the voice of the city. You're a massive sports fan. People sometimes just, they don't know. They just think of you as music guy. But we've all been there following this team since 1995 when Bob Mackowitz booed Damon Stoudemire getting drafted. We've been here.
I was standing beside him when he did it. And he kept chanting,
Ed O'Bannon. UCLA won the NCAA finals. It should be Ed O'Bannon.
Hey, listen, you guys are both legends, and it's an honor to be on the Mikazo cast.
Thank you so much, George. Bob, last word to you. My last thought, the Raptors are the NBA champions.
My last thought is...
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.